So let me ask a quick question here. How many people in the audience watch broadcast television networks? ABC, CBS, NBC, pretty much everybody. How many people watch those with an antenna versus cable or satellite? Okay, about five people, so God bless you. So if you look at the evolution of television, all of the growth in TV viewership came not via direct broadcast with antennas, but came via some type of other device, a cable box, a satellite box, and more recently, set-top boxes, where you have Amazon, Netflix, Hulu, and a wide variety of others. So the growth in the video business and video watching and video viewing has been huge. The number of hours that people watch video a week continues to go up. And broadcast television is very important, and broadcast television, though, in the world we live in today, lives in that universe and has to see itself in that universe in terms of how it relates to its viewers. And if you really look at what's happening in audio, what's happening in radio, it's the same phenomenon. That today, and historically, broadcast radio thinks of itself as an antenna and towers and people with a radio, but what's happening now, what's been happening for the last few years, and all of the growth, really, in listening is on some form of an application. And so the question really is, how does broadcast radio, and the same thing that happened with broadcast television, how does that live in a application-dominated world on lots of devices? And so how are you competing, if you will, for listening in a world where people have other choices? And so that's the purpose of my talk today, is to talk a little bit about life on the digital side, how we built a streaming platform, and how we do that in partnership with radio. So we see broadcast radio and broadcast radio groups as a partner, very much in the same way, thank you, that cable and satellite, for the most part, don't see CBS and NBC as competitors. It's all a world of how do you build a great viewing experience, in our case, a listening experience, and then how is that relevant for advertisers? So I'll assume for a moment many of you are not familiar with RDO. RDO's been around for about 5 years. We were founded and are closely held by one of the founders of Skype, a gentleman named Yannis Fries. And the mission of the company is to connect people with music they love everywhere on every device. And early last year, we launched a free version. The company, when it started, had a subscription-only model. You had to pay $10 a month or 10 euro a month in order to get access to music, in this case, without advertising. Last year, we launched a free version, and when we chose to launch a free version, we took a different approach than Spotify or YouTube, and we went back to something that we felt is the most obvious choice, frankly, and that is radio, similar to Pandora. Pandora, for those of you who don't know, is pretty much only in the United States because of the way they license. We license differently, so we're able to do that model outside the United States. So we have a free internet radio experience, and we have a subscription experience, and the goal is to tie those all together into the best listening experience available. And what you can do, people have been talking about this a lot today as it relates to advertisers. It's equally true and probably more importantly true for listeners. You can get music as an experience, and going forward, lots of other types of content that's tuned to you. People are familiar with that in things like Pandora in very basic terms because you can give thumbs up and thumbs down. But we start with a registered experience. So we start with registration information and then go from there to continue to tune. And I'll use a term from Jeff Bezos. We're still in day one. You know, this is incredibly early. But over time, the opportunity is to take that amazing universe of things that people can listen to and tune it to them based on what we know about them and based on what they choose to tell us. We focused from the beginning on user experience and design. Again, take an Amazon term, working backwards from the customer. Anybody can build an application. It's actually not that simple to get an application that people will use. And you're competing for a share of listening, you're competing for share of use against literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of applications. So although it's easy to create your own application in a sense, company in the back, Nobex does that, as do others, getting people to actually download, register, and use the application is where the challenge comes from. So the big question is, how do you attract listeners? How do you attract an audience? We have what we believe is a best-in-class music experience with over 35 million licensed songs to 85 countries worldwide. So we are all fully licensed for all the services we provide. We are literally everywhere, not just in territories, but in terms of where people listen. There were some mentions of this on the previous panel, but if you think of how audio has exploded, it's not just on your phone, it's also at home. The best home audio experience that most people have is now their television. People have invested significant amounts of money in home theater, even if it's just a $100, $200 soundbar, that's the best stereo in the house. How do you deliver audio on that? How do you deliver audio to connected speakers in the house? There's lots of talk about what's happening in cars, and again, it will clearly take some period of time, but in the not too distant future and in a number of car models today, you have AM, FM, in this country, Sirius, and then you have a couple of apps. So they're all peers, and when people are deciding what to pick, that's the decision they're making. And so it's in cars, it's in homes, it's in other applications, it's in televisions, it's everywhere. So when you think about reaching an audience, it's not just reaching the audience that you already know how to reach, it's how do you reach new audiences and target people in a new way. So we think there's an opportunity collectively to really reinvent radio. For almost a century, radio has shaped our culture and our communities. This is true almost everywhere in the world. There are approximately 5 or 6 billion people, depending on how you count, for whom radio is a regular experience. And in some cases daily, some cases weekly, but radio is universal around the planet. It is the main broadcast medium with a broader reach than television. And yet, in a lot of ways, radio has not been able to move forward in a lot of ways because all of the innovation at this moment is happening in a digital world. So we believe it's incredibly ripe for evolution. So we believe there's an opportunity together to really recontextualize and reinvent radio, building on the traditions of radio and also creating new traditions. Not competing with radio, but partnering with radio in the same sense that a satellite network or a cable network does not partner with a broadcast channel. And also to serve as a gateway to the world of on-demand experiences. We'll talk a little bit about that more, but you can go much more deeply in a digital world than you can. You may not choose to, not everyone wants to be a paying subscriber, but you can take what radio gives you and have that be the jumping off point for even more in-depth experiences with customers and listeners. So today we have 4 flavors of radio. We think of these as radio. Again, not everyone really, I think, thinks of streaming services that way, but the largest ones are, for the most part, another form of radio in the sense that you don't pick what you listen to. The best explanation I ever heard for this was someone who said, look, radio is where the listener picks the listener picks the station, and the station picks what they listen to. And if you think of what Pandora does, what we do, what radio has always done is it's a programming experience. Whether that's done by a computer or a human or a program director who's generally human, it's a programmed experience. The listener doesn't pick the music. They pick the station. So we have computer-generated stations, very similar to what Pandora does. We have 35 million songs. Pandora has a little less than 2 million, so we have about 20 times as much music. We have curated stations and genre-based stations. So again, human program stations. Interestingly enough, given that we have both of those, 19 of our top 20 stations are created by people. And so the idea that in a world of computer-generated algorithms, everyone is going to move to those algorithms just isn't true. There's all sorts of things that make a lot of sense for people to program, and when you let listeners choose, they will. We have a growing set of what we would call tastemaker stations, so stations not curated by us, whether they're artists or labels, athletes, brands. We did this last fall with Macy's. Macy's created a Macy's station on audio for the holidays. They drove people to that on their social traffic. They owned 100% share of voice on the station. They programmed the station, and it gave them a way to use the social experience we talked about earlier to drive incremental connection with their consumers. We also have something called UFM, which is essentially, we create a personalized station for every single RDO listener based on excuse me, based on what we know about them, their listening history, and what they choose to tell us in terms of things like who they follow, what genres we know they like. So what's next? For me, what's next is a glass of water. So what's next is something we're calling RDO Live, and that is bringing the world of broadcast radio into that same experience and delivering what we believe is a premium user experience, which is layered around and with broadcast radio. Broadcast radio can reach a much larger audience of devices that don't have tuners and for which we know who those people are. So all the things that we just talked about in the last couple of panels of registered users. And we can add enhanced features and functionality by integrating them into this experience, which deliver, as everyone has talked about before this, higher potential CPMs, new ad products, and which are accretive for the broadcasters, accretive for the advertisers, and frankly, a better experience for the listeners. So someone said win, win, win on the last panel, and we think that's the case. So from the beginning, this is just a simple walkthrough. We haven't launched this yet, but we wanted to talk about it to this audience because we think this is probably the most relevant audience for us at this point, and that is, when you first open the application, very much like when you turn on a radio, it's telling you about radio you can listen to. The problem with a lot of applications is you have to do some hunting to discover what's available. Because we know who you are and where you are, we can immediately recommend live stations in your area. And again, for those of you who know the app, this works very similar to how we today recommend music based on what we know about you. If you use Facebook to register for RDO, we know things about you from Facebook. We'll recommend you music that's relevant to you. We will do that with live stations. The home screen in RDO is a place where we display, it's kind of like, I wouldn't say it's exactly like your Facebook feed, but the idea is you get a series of information stories and recommendations. It's a personalized mix. We will be promoting live in there. So we'll be telling you about live stations locally. We can also tell you about what's going on with talent on those stations. Again, the more information we have about the station generally, the more we're able to make those recommendations. And we then remind you of the stations you've been listening to. One of the most used features of this is something called Keep Listening, sort of like a watch list or your queue on Netflix. We know what you've been listening to, so the first thing we tell you is how to get back to what you were listening to. Each station gets a dedicated station page here, a dedicated category, and live stations will be featured prominently on the top of this, so if what I want to do is browse live stations, I can browse live stations. Again, we will know the area you're in. Generally, we're going to focus on things that are relevant locally. That's a programming decision collectively to make. At some point, of course, you can reach out more broadly. A lot of radio brands have the potential to be national brands or international brands. We're working with Cumulus. Cumulus is a partner of RDO. I can talk more about that later. But Cumulus has Nash as a brand, and that brand spans local cities. It's a national brand, has the potential to be an international brand. There's a lot of opportunity to think about how you can expand beyond your immediate area while also getting the benefits of this in a local area. When you're using the app and you know what's playing, we know what just played. We know relevant things that are similar to that. If someone is a subscriber, they can choose to download songs. If they're here, they're listening to them. They can favorite these songs. There's all sorts of things you can do when you essentially integrate radio into that same experience. Pandora really doesn't have an on-demand function because of the way they license, but the idea is the same. So if you imagine you were in a station, you can up, thumbs up, you know, you can thumbs down, as someone talked about earlier. That kind of stuff is really, really relevant back to program directors. And it feels just like a peer, if you will. It doesn't make the broadcast station does not feel worse. The broadcast station, done properly, is another form of curated program station. So done properly, we think broadcast stations can become one of the top things that people listen to when they're inside of apps. Each station gets a station page. You can feature all sorts of things about who are the DJs. The talent from the station can have their own sections. They create playlists. We started to explore that model with other people. So the jock will say, look, here's a great new song from Blake Shelton. If you want to hear more songs off that album, go online and listen to them here. So your ability to talk to the audience with a much broader, if you will, pipe is widely available. So there's a lot of very creative things you can do here. DJs can have profiles. Think about it as music social. Twitter and Facebook have done a very good job of one model, but really there hasn't been a great music social model. In this case, when someone follows you, they can not only follow you have to say, more importantly, they can follow you from a listening point of view. And social has been one of the most intriguing things we found in terms of how you integrate music into people's social experience. And frankly, if people want to upgrade to on-demand, they don't have to leave. It's not another world. I think that's pretty important. You know, one of the dangers here is if, for example, the cable system didn't have the broadcast networks on it, and people had to have a set of antenna in order to get that, broadcast networks would be at a very significant disadvantage. So the premise here is, how do you make sure that radio, broadcast radio, can stay front and center? So the opportunity for the advertiser, I think people have been talking about this all day, more robust targeting, very reliable syncing, you have opportunities to take that 11 and a half minutes and either fill that up with ads, create different types of ad products in there. And frankly, what we know from these kinds of applications is you get a more engaged listening experience, particularly on portable devices, but not only on portable devices. So one of the biggest growing categories for us, strangely enough, is on TV. We have RDO, we have a partnership with Roku. How many people here know what Roku is? So all the new Rokus shipping for about the past 3 months have an RDO button on them. So it's Amazon, Netflix, I think Vudu, and RDO. And so surprisingly enough, or not surprisingly enough, one of the fastest growing categories of usage on Roku is audio. Because when you think about it, you have that beautiful screen in your house, and for the most part, when you're listening to music, normally that's wasted. You don't really know anything about the album art. You don't know anything about the, you know, who's playing. You do that on cable with things like Music Choice, but you haven't had that linked to a service. And so my wife, you know, a couple weeks ago, we were sitting around, she goes, hey, can we watch RDO? And although it sounds funny, she said, I haven't been able to see albums, you know, in forever. Nobody buys albums anymore and gets the art, but I really like seeing the artwork. I really like seeing that. So it's really fascinating when you think, it's not just what happens in the car, it's how you recapture a lot of the home audience. And so we think that's gonna be very important. Again, targeting, it's been spoken about a lot here, but it's pretty obvious that once you know these things, once we know what people listen to, it's just the beginning of the targeting you can do and the kinds of campaigns that are possible, clearly more than you get, obviously, in an anonymous stream. And for the listener, and that, frankly, is the single most important thing, if people thought having an antenna was better than watching cable, they would have an antenna. But for the most part, they don't. And that's because there's a richer experience. I have broadcast channels on cable, I have specialty channels on cable, I have paid channels on cable, I just have to figure out one thing. And what we can't forget is if we expect the average consumer to say, I have an app for this radio station, I have an app for that radio station, I have these streaming apps, that's gonna be hard. And so the premise is getting that critical mass in providing that integrated experience for people we think is gonna be super important. And again, as I said, we make the broadcast stream and the broadcast experience at least appear. You can dive into brands in a much more deeper way than you can. All the things that people talked about putting on your own websites, you can put inside the experience here. We've got people starting to do that. And again, people can upgrade and not lose the radio experience. So for partners in this case, for broadcast groups, to look at this as a platform, you have the opportunity to get this experience, to be part of this experience. It's not exclusive, but you have an opportunity to increase your monetization of your current streams. And frankly, think differently in a lot of cases about this. We're getting much higher CPMs than standard broadcast CPMs on someone's website or via TuneIn. And so we think there's a big opportunity there for you to start to think differently. At some point in time, interestingly enough, you know, you will be able to deliver a better experience through platforms like this than you can in a direct over-the-air, and let you think differently about what you're going to offer your audience and what you're going to offer your advertisers. And again, as I said, lots of opportunities talked about that. So I think that this one last piece is when you have platforms like this, you're not limited to just taking your streams and simulcasting them. You have the opportunity to create new programming. And again, I'll use the broadcast television metaphor, is CBS, how many people know CBS owns Showtime? CBS owns Showtime. Showtime could not happen in a broadcast world. You can only make the economics work in a world where you can narrowcast and have niche channels. Comcast owns, I don't even know how many damn channels at this point in time. Comcast, through NBC, owns a lot of its channels, had a lot of channels before. And when you have this ability to target people much more narrowly, all of a sudden you have the opportunity to create new programming. That, frankly, is what broadcasting and radio companies do, is they create programming, and they create programming for audiences. And in this case, you can create brand new things, if you will, the moral equivalent of Showtime or, you know, the Golf Channel or Discovery. All those businesses and all those channels, which we now think of, you know, as normal, all happened when the platforms were there for them to be created. And those companies didn't have to be in the distribution business. They were able to pick a platform and be able to work with that platform to bring those kinds of things to market. So we think, frankly, this is one of the more interesting opportunities. I don't think it's step one. But when you start to think about what you know about your audience, you know, Verily, and Sirius does this. Sirius has five country stations and a lot of others. And again, they have, you know, probably the biggest broadcast audience as a single group in this country, you know, but it's theirs. With a platform like this, anyone can go out and create those kinds of channels. So we're very interested, as this last slide will say, join the parade. If anyone is interested in this, I'm here. There's, I think, some other RDO people who are here. And my email is abay@rdio.com. We're not quite ready to talk about some of the pieces of this, but as a broadcaster, if you're interested in knowing more, then please reach out. Thank you, and I think I have time for some questions. If there are any questions. There is a man with a mic. Yes.
Hi, I'm from Radionomy Shoutcast, and we frankly see the most interesting content coming online is the long-tail curated content. And I'm wondering if you're talking to any of your broadcast partners about looking at building a bridge to some of that innovative content, because frankly, most of the broadcasters that we see have been playing some of the same tracks over and over. And we're wondering if that is a bridge that you can build with them.
Well, when you have a radio station as we know them today, you have to focus on content that reaches a very broad audience. So you can't program for long tail in the same sense that, you know, you don't see that on CBS either. They have to program broadly. So we're just in the process of starting this. So I do think, as you said, there will be opportunities for long tail, niche, more focused channels. Absolutely. Yes.
I think this expands a bit on the question that was just asked, but the crossover between your curated channels and your live channels, is the plan to offer branded products to radio stations as well to have them have both that on-demand and live aspect?
Yes. I must not have done a good job of saying it at the end, but the basic premise is, unlike a cable or satellite system where, although you have a lot of channels, you have 999 channels and then you run out. There's an infinite number of channels here. And then the challenge gets, how do you get those presented in front of people? So a lot of what we do is focus on what's trending, what's popular, what's being listened to. But there's, frankly, no limit. We have DJs, we have radio talent that's creating their own stations, and then they link back to the station, so if they want, you know, in order to tell people about it. So, yeah. And the challenge for this is, of course, you have to make something that people will listen to, and then you have to make something that you can promote. But you also have the ability, you know, radio has a remarkable ability to use on-air promotion, you know, for its own properties, just like you do today, to say, go to our website, go to our app, you know, come listen to us. You can also call to action on any particular piece of custom content. Yeah.
How deep will you go in sharing data with your partners?
It's a great question. I think the question was, if everyone didn't hear, how deeply will we go with sharing data? I think we're pretty open on a broad sense, other than things that violate privacy concerns or would share competitive information. So things that are relevant to your particular content, yes. Things that are relevant sort of across a category that are anonymized, yes. But beyond that, no. We're still trying to figure this out. I think a lot of it, as you could hear from all these, you know, panels earlier today, is we're still in the early stages. But, you know, frankly, I think people will look back at this, you know, 15, 20 years from now as the golden age of radio, the next 5 or 10 years. If you look at television networks, you know, they reach some of their all-time highest valuations in the last, you know, year or two. And because the content becomes more valuable. And if you shift to thinking of yourself as a content company, not somebody with towers, then it gets very interesting. So we will be working with a number of the companies that are here to try to get better at targeting. But yeah, absolutely. We're not trying, let me say it this way, we're not trying to hold this as our proprietary data. Okay, if that was the hidden answer, there.
It seems like you're following the XM satellite model. I come from XM. And my question to you is, we had neighborhoods and we had programmers programming an entire neighborhood.
Yep.
Do you have the same type of setup with a particular music director handling a number of channels?
Yes. So a big difference is Sirius has incredibly high capital costs. You have to fund the cost of radios. You have to fund the cost of satellites and running them. You know, we have the benefit like Netflix does, which is we don't pay for the infrastructure. So we can do a lot of these things without requiring a subscription. At the same time, we have subscriptions. So it's, you know, it's a both a free and a paid. We have probably right now 700 different stations that we've curated ourselves in different territories. We've got about 300 in India. We've got a chunk in Brazil. So we do have a small team doing this. But a lot of what we believe, frankly, is that there's an opportunity for other people who specialize in this to do that, as opposed to these being all things that we drive.